Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm the therapist, Tess Brigham.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And we are continuing our Love is Blind coverage. This is Love is Blind Season 6, Episodes 7, 8, and 9. And boy, a lot, you know, a lot happened, but nothing happened, much like the sister wives.
I disagree. I think a lot happened and a lot happened.
Okay. I just feel like there's some themes that were happening before. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, we're kind of continuing on these themes. This is about the same.
My feelings about some of these couples like radically changed.
Mm.
I thought it was a lot.
Well, one of the couples that, I mean, I felt really... spoiler alert, we're not even current. But spoiler alert, like Kenneth and Brittany break up. And I really wasn't ready for that. I was just a conversation. I wasn't ready for a breakup.
It happened so quickly. I feel like it happened within days of them moving in together, but you could sort of see the precursor to that when they were still in the DR and that scene on the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, these two, you know, we were so hopeful.
Yes.
In our last episode, we were so hopeful that their love was real. These two nice people, like, oh, yeah. God, please make this work out. Well, it turns out they're completely and totally incompatible.
Yes. Which goes back to my, I love the show Love is Blind, but I'm sorry, you know, love isn't blind.
No, it's not.
It just isn't. And this is the thing is that you don't know if you're going to be attracted to someone until you are in the same room, not through a wall, mm-hmm. but in the same room. And everyone's had this where you've talked to someone on the phone and you're like, oh, we really connect. And then you meet them and you're like, oh,
million
God.
Times.
Yeah, there's no times. Nothing there. And that's the problem is, yes, you need to get to know people before you prejudge them, for sure. But yes, but you also need to see them. And you need to be in the same room to see if there's any chemistry.
Yeah, and it's not just the chemistry is a huge part of it, but it's also just being compatible with your habits, the way you mm-hmm. live, your goals, which one. And that's why these couples always fall apart once they go back to their, you know, real world. You know, they leave vacation land and they go back and they're having to live together and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Be around each other 24/7. Not 24/7, but a lot more than they were in the pods, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you can project anything you want onto someone that you've never met and you just have these anonymous dates with.
Yeah. Which is why a lot of people like living in fantasy land. Like, there's a lot of people that really just like the talking to people online. Like they never meet them, but they never like that fantasy. They like the, then I can be in love with you and I have something to do, but I'm not going to get hurt because I'm never going to meet you. Yeah.
Right.
Well, should we start with Kenneth and Brittany?
Sure. Might as well.
Yeah. I mean, we saw some ripple effects. What did you think about, I thought the conversation that they had right at the beginning of episode, I think it was episode 7, where Kenneth is telling Brittany about the conversation he had with AD.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. And Brittany, I felt like needed to slow down a little bit. It was like, why don't you let him talk, Brittany, before you insert your opinion?
Well, she was kind of, okay, so basically AD says to Kenneth, you know, well, how do you think Brittany is going to handle raising Black children? And because I guess Kenneth has never dated a white woman before, but Brittany has dated Black men. So when he tells her about this, she's kind of offended.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I've dated Black men before. It's like, well, okay, but you've never been the mother of a Black child. I mean, it's a fair question, you know, and it's something they should have talked about before they even got engaged, for crying out loud, you know?
Yeah.
It's extremely, extremely important. And that was just weird. It was like, she just was like, well, you know, it's fine. I know what to do. And it's like, okay. That their whole relationship had been so kind of superficial like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought she was really fast to dismiss, really fast to go, oh, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. I think some of that is just your age. You know, when you're 24, you think you can figure anything out and you know it all. But I was a little bit like, well, hold on a second, Brittany. You know, you don't know what it's like to be Black in America. So why don't you let Kenneth explain, like, talk to you about that? Like, I just felt like she jumped right in with this feeling of like, I know exactly what to do, or I know exactly what to feel, or even that she seemed slightly offended by AD.
And she was like,
there was
offended.
There was nothing that they were saying or doing that was offensive. And maybe it's good that the two of you broke up, because I don't think Brittany really was prepared. I don't think these people are old enough anyway. But
no, they're young. She lives in La La Land. And I'm not quite sure what, you know, there are times when I think, okay, he's just really introverted, quiet. That's just his nature. But then sometimes it's also like, well, wait a minute. Like, I don't know, the way he sort of clinically deals with emotions, you know, and this is jumping forward a little bit, but when they have this breakup talk, which at first I thought that he was breaking up with her, and then I was like, wait a minute, who's breaking up with who here? And I really think it was her breaking up with him, although I think she wanted him to be like, oh, no, I'll change, I'll be better. But he did not.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, this is how I am. If this doesn't work for you, then, you know, no hard feelings. I love you, but we can't get married. And he very calm and cool and collectively just accepted. And she kind of looked stunned, like, oh, I didn't mean it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, there was no like, okay, well, let's try. I mean, I literally feel like they'd been home for 2 days.
Yeah.
And it was like,
I think it's been like a week and a half.
Yeah. And some uncomfortable things start happening. They didn't even say, okay, well, let's try to work on this. He was very much like, well, this is the way I am. This is the way you are. We're not compatible. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought maybe I saw their breakup a little differently let's back up for a second.
Okay.
Because they showed us a scene when they were still in the DR where they're on a boat together and and it's obviously they're showing us this because Brittany is talking, trying to fill in the gaps, trying to connect with him. And I remember thinking like, ooh, this isn't good, because she's really not getting that he is more introverted and quiet. And she's not
need to be talking all the time.
Yeah, it's fine. And I was partially thinking too, like, God, just enjoy the water.
Right. Brittany, just relax.
Shh, Yeah. You know, just like be out there and just still. Be okay. Yeah. And still, and yet she kept trying to, you know, connect with him or trying to talk to him. And so I was like, okay, this isn't good. And then we see he said, once he knew he was going back home, he almost got into work mode and he's like, oh, I'm just trying to prepare myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but I'm kind of with Kenneth on this one, which is Kenneth has a very difficult job. It's very stressful. It's a lot of hours.
A lot of responsibility.
A lot of responsibility. You got parents, you know, and I've mentioned before, I've had clients who are principals. Like, you got parents calling you. You've got the district calling you. You've got you're dealing with teachers. Mm-hmm. It's like, you are the dumping ground of everything. And he's got a lot going on. And she seemed to be constantly annoyed with him that he was on his phone. Now, he does love his phone, and he told mm-hmm. us he loves his phone and he wants to be on his phone a lot. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't know what was realistic. I don't know if it's like he's working all day long and he really can put the phone down, or if it's like he can't put the phone down because he's working so much. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both.
There's also the editing aspect of it. We don't know, because they keep showing these scenes where she's trying to talk to him and sometimes about mundane things, but sometimes about serious things. And he's just on his phone scrolling to whatever he's doing. And it makes it look like, you know, he's just completely ignoring her and on his phone. I don't know if that's editing or if that's reality, but there were several times where I thought, you know, put your fucking phone down. Like, you know,
yeah.
I know you have all these responsibilities, whatever, but you just chose to get engaged to this woman and you're not making any effort to even pay attention to her or answer her. She's like, well, which side of the sink do you want? And he's just ignoring her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't think that's right.
Well, but that's what I wonder about him, if he's ignoring her or does he just not hear her and he's not realizing how rude it is. I don't know. I can see both sides. I think Kenneth really does like his phone. And I think that they are both really young people. Mm-hmm. So my interpretation of the breakup was that really what she was saying to him was, I just don't feel, I felt like she was in a kinder way saying, I don't feel attracted to you.
Yeah.
I don't feel any spark, any feeling, anything right. from you. So I got the sense from Kenneth almost like to save face. I mean, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. Even if you weren't attracted to the other person, you always want to be attractive to people. Right. So I got the sense with him that he was very businesslike, because he was like, I'm not going to be on TV and showing people how I feel, or I'm just going to rip off this Band-Aid and I'm just going to move on and no one will see me I'll cry in my room on my own kind of thing.
Well, they also had made this commitment that they weren't going to have sex before they got married. Mm-hmm. And he was honoring that. Mm-hmm. And what she was basically saying was, it was almost like she was playing this game. Like, she was saying, well, despite the fact that we made this commitment, I want you to be so hot and heavy with me that I just can't help myself. And I can't wait. And I can't keep that promise because I'm just so turned on. And it was a little game playing like to me. But then I was confused because she got mad. He came home late one night and tried to do something. I don't know. I don't know what, because she's like, we never kiss. We've never made out.
Yeah.
Yet he came and they're not having intercourse or whatever whatever sex means to people. That's a whole nother issue. I don't know what he was doing when he came home at 1:30.
Yeah. He was trying to get something going.
He's trying to rub up on her. I don't know. I don't know what he was trying to do, but she wasn't having it and didn't seem like it was enough for her. I don't know. These two are very sexually frustrated.
Yeah, it is very, very strange. It is very strange. Because they are quote unquote saving themselves, and it's hard to tell, like, are you both virgins or what's going on here? But whatever.
I doubt it.
But I mean, it is very, very confusing. And I think there's probably a lot more that they're not.
Oh, yeah.
They're not saying.
They have edited this thing within an inch of everybody's lives here. You know, hard to know.
Yes.
Hard to know.
But it was just shocking because I thought they were just going to have a conversation about like, oh, you know, Kenneth needs to put his phone down. Okay. And we're going to see a whole series of Kenneth putting his phone down and being more attentive and all this other kind of stuff. And then when he, and I think you're right that I don't think she thought this was going to be the end.
No, I think she was doing like an ultimatum-y type thing.
And I think that he, I think she really did think that he was going to rally a bit more and be like, oh, what do I need to do? How do I change this? But you know what? He's not wrong. Because if there's no attraction, there's no attraction. You cannot make that happen. Mm-mm. People can, you know, you're friends with someone for a long time and you can kind of see them in a new light or something can happen. But that evolution has to be natural. And this thing is not natural. It's just not. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
anyway, but it was shocking.
It was shocking. It was very quick and clinical. And I was like, whoa. Like I said, I was unsure who's breaking up with who here. I'm not really sure. Oh, and then they show that he's still mic'd and he goes upstairs and he calls someone and they say, oh, and his friend is calling. And, I was trying to make out what he was saying. It was very hard, but it sort of sounded like he said, hey, babe, yeah, I'm about to be over there. I'm about to be there.
You know, I thought that was his friend, like a male friend. I didn't think it was a woman.
Well, if it was a male friend, why would they even put that on the show? Oh, they're obviously insinuating that he's already got someone.
Oh, that maybe he's got some like ex or some girlfriend.
Yeah, he's got someone that he can go, you know, just leave and go to her house. Mm. And it kind of sounded like he said hey, babe or bae or like something like that, you know. And so, they wouldn't have. Obviously, they're trying to intimate it's a woman.
Mm. Okay, I missed that. Yeah. Guess I was looking down or something.
That's what happens when you make notes. This is what I hate about this. There's so many subtleties and things. Like if you're taking notes on a show, you look down for 1 or 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. You miss something like that. So like with these shows, I really like to just watch them and not take any notes. But then you're like, okay, what happened?
So you got to watch the show and then record.
Yeah, and
right
then
away.
Make note or something. Yeah, or what? Yeah, record right away. Even then, it's like so much is happening. But
yes, yes. All right. So that's them and they're gone. And then just like that, they're gone.
Well, maybe not. We don't know. People come and go on these shows mm-hmm. sometimes.
So maybe they'll come back. I mean, I assume maybe they'll come back for something. I think. I don't know. I guess they'll come back. Who knows?
Sometimes someone could have a change of heart. I kind of don't think so, but
no. Oh no, they're not going to have a change of heart. This felt like, you know, and I feel like she really was. She was trying. She was trying to find something in there, and he was, you know, not letting her have it. And yeah, so I'm very confused. Let's go to our next couple about Johnny and Amy. What is the Johnny, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but like abstinence is the only way not to get pregnant.
Exactly.
So if you're gonna have sex, I don't understand why can't these people use condoms? Well, I'm just like, what is this about birth control?
He even said a condom is not enough for him. He said every woman he's ever been with has been on. He just thought all women were on the pill. Like it was just standard. They give it out to you, you know, every day. They come to your house and give it to you. This guy is so, both of them are so weird about this, this thing. He has this irrational fear of her becoming pregnant. And he has like insecurity about money. And he said he grew up without, you know, not a lot of money. And this is an issue with him that but he's taking it to the extreme. He's terrified of it. And it's like, you know what? If she got pregnant, it would be okay. You both have jobs. And like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? He is. His fear is really, it's out of control. And I get the sense, even though they didn't talk about it, I get the sense that she said that I will not, you know, terminate a pregnancy. If I get pregnant.
No, she's Catholic.
Yeah. I am keeping that baby. And maybe that's different than other girls that he's met or been with, where he felt like, okay, there are options. But if she's saying, I will not take the morning after pill, I will not, you know, do any of these other things, then maybe that's for him like, oh, crap, then, you know, if we do quote unquote have an oopsie, you know, then this could, yeah, then she's going to have this baby. I get the sense, and I could be totally wrong. I get the sense that he, that maybe his parents were young when they had him, or mm-hmm. they were ill prepared, or because right. he's got a real story in his head that right. you have to be a certain age and have a certain amount of money in order to feel like you're ready to have kids. And that yep. is not true, because no. you're never ready to have kids. You're never going to, guess what?
You never have enough money.
You never have enough
Unless
money.
Once you're like uber rich.
You never, ever have enough money. Trust me. I got a little being that sucks life. I got to order him a new, he's sending me like things like, I'd like a new duvet. I'd like a new sheet set. You know, they always want things. So, yeah. You know, I don't know what you're trying to do here, Johnny. Or is it because there's really nothing to talk about with these two, so we have to talk about this birth control thing so much?
Yeah, maybe. And she has strange ideas about birth control too, because she says, she basically said, well, why don't you get a vasectomy? And it's like,
what?
What? He's 28 years old. You don't get a man who's 28 who wants to have children. I guess you could freeze your sperm or whatever, yeah. but what if that doesn't work? What if you meet somebody else and, you know, you want to have a baby with them? I mean, it's just like, that is not the answer. And also there's other forms of birth control besides the pill that mm-hmm. maybe won't, disturb you as much or whatever. And she even said her doctor said the pill might help her because she has some other disorder where she has to have infusions or low iron,
like blood thinners or something like that. Yeah.
So, you know what? How about you guys just go to a doctor, talk about all these things, figure out what your options are. But God, please don't get a vasectomy at 28. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
And the fact that she would even suggest that shows like her naivete. Both of these two, like, look, they're harmless, you know, like individually, but together, they don't seem to be too bright.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I think it's a combination of that there's not enough there to talk about mm-hmm. them, and that they do have to keep revisiting this. Like, I think their other conversations are so boring that the editors are like, okay, God, let's just put in the thing about the pill. That's the most interesting thing. Oh, God, she suggested a vasectomy. All right, let's put that in. And this is what we're left with. Gosh. I still have faith in these two, but this is the dumbest discussion in our world today with everything that's going on.
Exactly. It's kind of hard for me to believe that they're very physically affectionate with each other. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard for me to believe that they haven't had sex. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something.
Oh, yeah. They're doing something. But
that gets kind of what you just...
And Johnny, really, every woman you've ever been with, you've vetted them thoroughly. And, you know, a woman could tell you she's on the pill and not be on the pill, or she could forget to take the pill, or she could be doing this or that or whatever. And like, and yeah, you could use a condom and at the same time, you can still
get pregnant on the pill. Yeah.
And I got a crazy idea, Johnny. Why don't you see it as, you know, if by all means, this baby makes it through all these layers of protection, then maybe this baby is meant to be your baby. You know, especially since they want to have children.
Right.
I think it would be very different if they both agreed that we do not want to ever have children. I know I'm never going to have children.
Well, then get a vasectomy.
Yeah. Then I can see that. But this is
a vasectomy is not a short term form of birth control as Amy thinks it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they meet Johnny's family.
Yeah, and everyone seems to get along, and everyone was nice.
They seem cool. They like her. Okay, here's one thing. This really bugged me as these episodes that, you know, they're going back home and they're starting to meet each other's families. Every single time someone's got to look at the they've got to show off their engagement ring and say, mm-hmm. everyone's like, oh, it's so pretty. And then the woman says, oh yeah, he did so good. He did a great job. And it's like, he didn't do shit. Like, first of all, do you think they pay for these rings?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, like on The Bachelor, so you mm-hmm. know, they don't pay for those rings. These are really nice rings.
I think if they pay for them, if or a part of them only if they get married. If they don't get married, I think they have to give them back. They for sure have to give those things back.
Yeah. And it's like, trust me, these guys didn't go out and pick this shit. They said, okay, here's your choice. You can get this ring, or this ring. Pick one of them. But I hate, and that also, it's so like cliche and sexist. Like, this is all about getting a diamond ring. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But every single one of them, oh my God, he did so good. Didn't he do a great job?
Yeah. Well, I just feel like this is, unfortunately, and I'm so grateful I missed all of this. This is Instagram. This is the influence of Instagram and these weddings and what people are put through these days just for these weddings. And everything is about like the great ring and doesn't look great in this photo. And I have to be perfect when this person, you know, proposes to me.
Oh, yeah. They have all pictures and videos of when they get proposed to.
And we've got a flash mob that's happening over here. And then, you know, all these bridesmaids, I really feel for them. Like, you know, now you have to go and go to this thing and go to that thing and pay for this. And
being a bridesmaid is even in my day, like 20 to 30 years ago, when I was a bridesmaid in several ways, it was like, it was a lot. Now it's like about 20 times worse.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in two weddings, Dad and Carrie's and my own.
Well, I don't think Dad and Carrie's wedding really counts. We were forced to be there.
Well, we were flower girls, though.
Well, but you were six.
I was seven, Brooke. It was before my seventh birthday.
Well, you were 6 years and 364 days.
4 days. Yes. Yes. And you heard that right. My father, less than a year of getting divorced, my father decides to get married the day before my birthday, 7 years old. Yeah. So that's pretty effed up.
You get to always have that memory. Like,
oh, yeah. Right, I get to every birthday. My birthday, I get to lump in this goddamn marriage, you know, which has been just a joy in our lives. Just a joy. She is such a joy, our stuff.
Yeah. Well,
you know, what can you do? But it's, yeah, I don't know. What were we talking? I'm going down my own path here.
Like, you can distract my own by feelings. Your own trauma.
My own feelings and my own drama.
It's all too much. Anyway,
it's okay, all too much. Yes.
Did anything else happen with them? They rode some horses.
I barely paid attention to the two of them. I was
They went and had a dance lesson.
Yeah, like I hate that
salsa
stuff.
Dancing it's such or something.
Filler. Yeah. I was like, okay, filler. Great. You're dancing, blah, blah, woo, woo, woo.
I think that was it for them.
Yeah. All right. So who do you want to go to next with the remaining couples? These are the three problematic couples.
Oh, my gosh.
The really problematic couples.
Do you want to start with Jimmy and...
Chelsea?
Chelsea and Jimmy. Yeah.
Clingy.
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 Clingy. Clingy. How dare you?
Clingy.
This woman...
Chelsea.
She cannot help herself.
Chelsea.
She cannot help herself. Look, she is so annoying. And you know what? God bless Jimmy. I have to say, I was putting down Jimmy in the last episode, and I'm still not a big fan of him. But I have to say, he's put up with so much bullshit from her and has acted very gracious through it all. And he finally one night had to go back to his apartment after he said, "You're being a little clingy," and she had a complete and total meltdown. He's just like, I can't do this. I got to go stay in my apartment.
Well, what's very clear about Chelsea is that Chelsea has no ability or no tools or no nothing to be able to manage her own feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that she feels whatever is happening around her. So, you know, Jimmy's paying attention to her. Therefore, I feel good. Mm-hmm. I'm with my friends. They're admiring my ring. Therefore, I feel good. Right. Like everything is about how someone else is making her feel.
Right.
And this is a problem that people get into all the time, which is, quite frankly, nobody is responsible for your feelings but you. And I know it sounds harsh. And yes, people can be jerks and they can be assholes and they can be rude. And you absolutely have the right to say this person is rude or this person's mean or this person's treating me unfairly. And you have the right to your feelings. But when someone is just living their life and
going to work,
doing the things that they need to do, him not kissing you or him not putting in that time has nothing to do with how much he cares or doesn't care. But that's the problem, is she has such recency bias too. It's always about what the last thing that he did. Like, so if he didn't kiss her in the last 10 minutes, then, you know, everything also falls apart.
She also makes shit up. That thing about how you haven't even kissed me today. He said, no, actually, when you were in the bathroom before I went to work, I kissed you. And then I tried to kiss you again. And, you know, I kissed the side of your cheek or whatever. And then she goes, oh, okay. Then later when they're arguing, she's like, you haven't even kissed me today. Mm-hmm. And she did the same thing in the DR where she accused him of twirling AD around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I didn't do that. And then they show the video. He did not twirl her around.
Yeah.
And she kept saying that. So this is
what she is conjuring up.
Yeah.
That's the problem. The problem is that that's what she thinks is happening, because her mind is going there because she has no tools. She has no ability to sit with the discomfort mm-hmm. of her feelings,
mm-hmm.
right? My partner isn't paying attention to me. That makes me feel, you know, some way. And so what she instantly does is, so therefore Jimmy is bad. And the problem is, it's like, my partner's not paying attention to me. It needs to be, what's going on with me that I really need this person to pay attention to me? What's happening with me right now? And how do I meet my own needs? And then go to your partner and say, hey, I don't feel like we're connecting.
But also, her partner is not like paying attention to her because he is working.
Yes.
Because he's preoccupied. Okay. Here's what happened. He clearly works from home. He has been off for 3 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, because we get more of a sense of the timeline here, because they talk about, well, we've been gone for 3 weeks. So they were probably like in the pods for 2 weeks and the DR for 1 week. And then, you know, he's been gone for 3 weeks. He, you know, that feeling.
Yeah.
I need to get back to work.
I don't think I've ever taken 3 weeks off. No. Ever.
I've never had in my life. I've never had a 3 week vacation.
No.
So usually the most I've ever taken is like 2 weeks, and you get back and you're anxious. Like, okay, I got to get back into it.
Yeah.
What about, you feel, you want to keep your job, want to get back to work. So that's what he's doing. And then at the end of the day, he comes downstairs, and obviously it's like his first day back at work. And he said, hey, my boss just told me that I was indispensable. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel good or something. And obviously the boss realized when he was gone, it's like, yeah, you're indispensable. So he got this huge compliment from his boss, and he's really happy about it. And I forget what Chelsea did, but she didn't say, oh, that's so nice that, you know, mm-hmm. they must really, like, you must really work hard, whatever. No, the first thing she says to him is like something negative. I don't mm-hmm. remember what she said, but she said something like, you're not paying attention to me. You know, I mean, there's, you know. I mean, God, she is so spoiled. She's like a spoiled, petulant brat.
Mm. I think that Chelsea has had one bad relationship after another. And I think she is very, very, she is just not ready to be in any kind of relationship. She has no business being on the show.
She has no self-esteem.
She needs to be. After her marriage ended or whenever, she needs to be by herself in therapy for several years. And you need to really work on yourself. Really, really. Because, yeah, you're right. She has no sense of self. She has no self-esteem. Her entire sense of self is wrapped up in a man loving her
mm-hmm.
or feeling like she's being paid attention to or whatever it is. And I think that what we're seeing now is that a lot of Chelsea's decision to pick Jimmy or to go with Jimmy has been about the fact that he, right, like partially he was the first one to ask.
Yeah.
But the other one too is that because he was so wanted. And I think that fed her ego.
He chose her over
Jessica, who's really beautiful. But the problem is that, and Chelsea's beautiful too. I don't know why we keep, you know, they're both beautiful women. So, but I think that she feels not secure within herself. So she sees Jessica and she feels like, okay, I've attracted to this guy, but now she's back And because she has that mindset, she can never settle down because she's so worried about Jessica.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's this weird dichotomy. She was better off in some ways picking Trevor, because that actually would have been healthy. That would have actually helped her a lot more. He would have given her all.
He would have given her that attention,
and she wouldn't be so worried about him being interested in someone else.
Yeah. Jimmy's just not. Look, Jimmy's a good time. You see, he's got these female friends, and they're talking about how they can't believe this is even happening. You know, I just feel like, God, this is so screwed up. But then you see them together, and God, he's trying so hard. I don't know if it's real or not, or if he's just putting it on, because, you know, they show them doing stuff together and it's cool. But then they have these like stupid fights, like junior high fights, like, you're talking to that girl too much and you're not paying attention to me. And it's and he's just kind of looking at her like, okay, no. And he just tries to get it over with. He just tries to get through the fight, get it over with, and move on. But nothing ever really gets resolved because they need professional help. Like, if they're going to be together, well, she needs professional help.
She does. And they have no business getting married. She also has really, unrealistic expectations of love, what love is going to look like, that she thinks that if my partner really cares about me, they're going to get up every day and give me a huge big kiss and make me breakfast and just text me constantly. And that's when I'll know I'm loved. And I'm like, no, that's not love. And quite frankly, we have too much other stuff to do. You got to get on with your life.
Is she the one who got upset with him because, like, he came home or came downstairs or something, and she's like, "Hey, babe, how you doing?" And he said, "Hey," and that response was not enough for her.
Yeah,
and she brought it up during the fight.
Yeah,
and said that, you know, you don't talk to me this way, and he's like, "What?" And she gave that as an example, and it's like she has this, it's like a movie script in her head, like the most wonderful rom-com playing out in her head.
Yes.
And if Jimmy doesn't meet those standards, then, you know, she starts crying and she's not good enough. I mean, I'm really not enjoying watching her.
Yeah. Psych Legal Pop, we'll be back after these messages.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You know, the other thing is, real quick, about Jimmy, though, Jimmy's not my favorite person, but I feel for Jimmy on this one. When you work from home and you live with other people, it's tricky. And we all learned this during the pandemic. And I myself, because I'll see lots of clients back to back. And I'm in a shed in my backyard. So to use the bathroom or to get food or anything, I have to leave the shed, go back into my house. And my husband's office was right in the middle of our living room. He has thus moved to the garage. But every time, I can never end my sessions on time. So I would have 7 minutes to pee eat something, get myself centered, maybe, you know, heat up some coffee, maybe get some water. I had 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And every time Steve would spin around in that chair, be like, hey, what's going on? I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
To the point where I really had to say to him, like, I don't work, you know, my job is complicated.
I'm at work.
Yeah. My job is complicated. And I'm thinking, I'm taking in, I'm processing what my clients just said to me. I'm letting it go because I have to meet with another client. Like, I don't know what Jimmy does for a living, but if you have a complicated job that requires you to really be present and think, and, you know, it's hard. You can't stop. So my guess is that he was like, hey.
Yeah. You don't just walk downstairs and all of a sudden you're happy. Yeah, you've just worked all day.
Or not even all day. It could have been mid-meeting.
Right. You're just processing. Yeah. You're thinking, like you said, you don't have a lot of time. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. But something that would be totally lost on Chelsea, because that's no excuse. If you really loved me, you would at least come over to me and give me a kiss and say, hey, babe, I love you so much. Like, those are her expectations.
But the problem is this. I bet you anything, if Jimmy started doing that, then I think it would be like, well, but you didn't stay long enough.
Yeah.
Or you didn't do this. I think she's going to keep making that bar.
Yeah, she's moving the goalposts farther and farther.
This is the thing. You want to fall in love with somebody who doesn't need you, but wants to be with you.
But wants you. Yeah.
Yes. And that's the problem is Chelsea doesn't get that yet. Like, she doesn't get that she needs to be a whole, complete person in order to love someone else. And what you really need to seek is someone who's a whole, complete person who could take you or leave you, but they want you in their life and they're going to prioritize you. Anyway, she's just, whew, boy. Well, should we talk about Jessica?
Oh, yeah. Jessica.
We see Jessica.
She meets up with Laura.
Yes.
For drinks. And, you know, Laura's giving her the rundown of, I don't remember much about this meeting, but, you know, it's clearly foreshadowing that Jimmy and Jessica are going to meet, obviously. Mm-hmm. Soon.
Yeah. Well, it's so weird. So apparently when everyone got home, Jimmy DM'd or like messaged Jessica and then, or like friend requested. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, friend requested? You guys,
are you on Facebook?
Are you guys aren't, do you have to friend request for Snapchat? I'm so old. I have no idea.
Oh,
Snapchat confuses me.
I've never been on Snapchat, but I mean, Instagram, if someone has a private account, you have to ask to.
But everybody else, he could follow you, right? I mean, it's just kind of weird. So, but apparently he friended her and then I guess she was thinking about it or deciding what she was going to do. And then 8 hours went by. So he withdrew his request and made his account private.
Yeah, that's probably Instagram.
You know, so who knows what happened in those 8 hours with Chelsea? Because so much could have happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, or maybe he just got scared, freaked out, like, what am I doing? I shouldn't be doing this. You know, I should just leave it behind. And it's revealed that someone from the show already showed him.
I think it's Jeremy. And I'm like, Jeremy, you are kind of a shitster.
He's a shitster. Well, we find out later. Jeremy's a piece of shit.
But Jeremy's kind of a shitster because I feel like that's not your business to do that.
Right. Why are you doing
this? You know, like let that person figure that out. And he's in a relationship. Like, why are you interfering in that way? Just weird.
Yeah.
So, but you know, Jeremy, the minute he could, it sounds like the minute he could look these people up, he was looking these people up, you know,
contacting Sarah Ann.
Yes. All right. So do we want to do Jeremy and Laura or Clay and AD?
Well, while we're talking about Jeremy, I guess we can do them. So, yeah, this is another couple who I can't remember what my prediction was last week, but I thought that, you know, they might have a chance. But I mean, is their relationship over?
Like, no, I don't think so. God knows what's going on. I mean, the episode 7 started with them making up for the fight in the
from
DR.
The last fight.
From the last fight.
Well, let's talk about that. I thought that was pretty telling. So he's the one who, you know, escalated that thing with Laura said something about the bean dip joke. And then he took it upon himself to go over to AD and say it. And Laura was just like, what are you doing? That was between us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shouldn't have said that. And even though he was in the wrong, he basically iced her out that night. mm-hmm. went back to the room, refused to speak to her, slept on the couch. Like, what did she do? Mm-hmm. Nothing. You're the one who fucked up and you're acting like you're the victim. Yeah. So the next day he's apologizing for that.
Yeah. And he did. He basically admitted it was my dumbass ego, which because again, this shows you the level of maturity because what he really needed to say was, you know what? I'm sorry. Sorry, AD. I shouldn't have repeated that. I'm sorry, Laura. I shouldn't have repeated that. And they should have just moved. They could have moved on that night at the party. Yeah. If he just owned it and apologized and said, you know what? Because we all do that. We've all done that. I've done it more than once where you say something that's in confidence and then you spill it. And mm-hmm. it's an honest, people don't do it with mean intentions. So he could have really cleaned that up pretty quickly. But I do think, and we learn this a bit more when we meet Laura's family, because I know everyone really likes Laura. Laura's a lot.
I'm starting to dislike her a lot.
Yeah, Laura is a lot. And when they were trying to have that conversation out on the pier, I was like, Laura, just like Brittany, I'm like, slow down. Like, let this person get a word in edgewise. Because she needed to right then and there be like, I'm not going to put up with this shit. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do, right? Like, she's already saying to him, no. Like, I can see this. This is a problem. I don't like this. You know, this needs to end. And it's almost that same thing with the Hawaiian shirts. It's almost like, I don't like this. So this needs, I don't like right. this. So therefore, I am uncomfortable with this. So therefore, this has to end. And I think that's how Laura deals with life. And
she's super controlling. And,
yeah.
Well, all her stuff about cleanliness and her cleanliness rules. And, you know, she was so turned on by how clean his apartment was. And, you know, but she still had to say, but okay, well, you can't do this. Yeah, she's a lot. She's mm-hmm. really getting, she's still starting to grate on my nerves. And, however, he's worse.
Yeah, but she's,
what did you think of her family? They just seemed stunned. Like,
yeah, not at all what I expected.
No. And they're very much like these kind of salt of the earth type people. Nothing like her. Mm-hmm. She is like out there. And the expressions on their faces as they were basically listening to their daughter and, you know, mostly talk. But Jeremy, too, they were just, I don't know what they were probably thinking. Oh, this is never going to work.
Yeah. Well, and I can't imagine being a parent on one of these shows, right?
Because
it's your kid. You want to be supportive. You want to try to, you know, be there for them and smile and do what you need to do. But at the same time, I don't think I could hide my face. I don't really have much of a face.
I would also
be kind of looking at them like, what? This makes no sense. Or what are you two talking about?
Yeah.
The other thing too is about her parents, which I thought was really interesting. It was almost kind of like they really get her. And it's almost like, oh yeah, that's Laura. Like, yeah, you better, she likes things the way this is. I think Laura drives them a little crazy.
Yeah.
With her rigidity sure. and some of these rules and some of these things. I think she's a lot for them. So mm-hmm. I think they're looking at this going, okay, Laura, if this is what you want, all right. But is it the mom or dad or the sister-in-law? Someone makes a very good point about how that she needs to be challenged. And they notice that Jeremy is someone who can challenge her. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like they really get what Laura needs or what Laura is like. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe in the past, maybe she didn't date people that challenged her. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe why it didn't work. And now she's getting someone who's challenging her and she doesn't like that either.
No.
We've said this in the last episode. The two of them have these personalities where they like to just poke at each other.
Yeah.
And for some people, that works. A lot of other people, they don't. And Laura doesn't like to be poked at.
No, she likes to give it out, but she can't take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So on the last episode, episode 9, shit hits the fan.
Yep.
So I think prior to that night when he went out, did he tell her he had been in touch with Sarah Ann?
He said something to her to the effect of, and I can't remember if this was in the DR, he said to her, I would like to talk to Sarah Ann and I'd like to be friends. I think he did indicate that. And I don't think she was happy about that. She was not happy. Laura was not happy about that at all. So, and if Jeremy is looking up Jessica and looking up all these people,
everybody's looking up everybody. Yeah.
So then he, I think, looked up Sarah Ann and was like, oh, she's pretty. She's cute. You know, and we did have a little bit of a thing here. And Sarah Ann, we're forgetting, Sarah Ann did write to Jeremy, apparently, and said, hey, you know, if just wanted to see how you're doing and check in with you, and basically saying, hey, if things don't work out with Laura, let me know, you know. And Laura, of course, was pissed off about that. And did he show that to her? He showed that to her, or did she see it?
I'm not sure.
She was talking to Jessica about it.
Yeah, she knew about it. Yeah, she did. I think she, because he was trying to be, you know, transparent, quote unquote. He keeps saying, oh, I'm being transparent. It's like, yeah, but you're still acting like a dick. He was being transparent with her, and he was showing that to her, and kind of like always a way to say, see, I'm such a good guy. You know, I would never respond to this. But lo and behold, so he goes out one night with, I guess, some guys from the show, and they text him and say, oh, by the way, Sarah Ann is here. And he claims that he thought about not going, but then was like, no, you know, I'm going to go. And he said that he had heard that she was upset with him or something. And he wanted to, or maybe she said that when he got there, she said to him, you know, I'm upset about some things and I want to talk to you. And who knows? This all sounds like such bullshit. Like, oh, I was just trying to talk to her because she was upset. I'm just trying to clear the air. Well, cut to, he does not come home until like 5:45 a.m.
Yeah. So she said that he left at 10:45 and he didn't get home till 5:30 or 5 something in the morning. And I'm sorry, but Sarah Ann is not smart enough to have this many feelings.
Well,
for 7 hours.
They barely knew each other. If they had to just clear the air, that would have taken, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, people who are in long-term relationships don't even break up this long. You know? I mean, this is a long, you know, in one night or whatever it is. So apparently, he said, okay, well, I shared my location with you to be transparent. And she doesn't say it at first, but basically, it turns out that he thought that just she wouldn't look up his location, like sharing it would be enough with him. Because at first he says, oh, we were right outside the bar. We were in the parking lot. Now, again, you can have sex with someone in the parking lot of a bar too, FYI.
At any time you're in a bar parking lot after the bar closes, you're fucking, okay?
Or you're doing drugs.
Yeah, one of the
or
two.
Maybe both.
Maybe both. That's all that happens in a car outside in the middle of a closed bar.
Yeah.
Even if the bar is open, it's probably, I mean, does he think we're all stupid, that Laura is stupid? His story, and she just kind of let him dig a hole.
Yeah. Because she called him on the fact that, no, you weren't at that location. And he's like, well, I was down the street and down an alley. I'm like, that's worse. That's even more private. You know, that's even like, it's almost like you said to Sarah, let's go park over here together. You know, we don't have enough privacy here in the parking lot.
We don't want anyone to be able to see us.
Yeah, let's go to a back alley. And then she basically says, no, you were, and it's all these places in the Charlotte we don't know.
Yeah, in the north.
North of Uptown.
North, and not in the West End or wherever he said he was supposed to be. Yeah, no, she was tracking him. She was awake at 5 in the morning looking at her iPhone, and she could see exactly where he was. Because if your, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, whatever, husband, wife is not home, it's 5 a.m. and they're not home, you're gonna be like looking, and you're not sleeping. So she is looking, and she busted him. She busted him, and then he had nothing to say. He was completely silent. And then she says, I'm done. I think first she said a lot of stuff about how, you know, how could I be with someone who like would do all this and that. But I mean, once he gets caught, I mean, he's speechless. He has nothing left. He has no more excuses to make.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm done. And she gets up and walks away. And I'm just thinking, well, what does that mean? Because I swear to God, if she does not leave the show right now and break up with him, I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, Jeremy's an interesting one because I get the sense that Jeremy is one of these kind of like guys who maybe wasn't always like, he was always kind of funny and clever, but he was never the person that women picked. And I wonder if he felt like he got his ego stroked by having these two women kind of fight over him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he wanted to have his cake and eat it too, kind of thing. Like, I think that he got his ego fed by these two women kind of battling it out with him. And Jeremy's sort of one of these unfortunate people where you think he's a nice guy, but he's really kind of a jerk. Yeah. But he's kind of also a nice guy, but he's also kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
you know, you're exactly. kind of like you're and, you know, maybe you work next to them and you're like, OK, you know, I can handle you here at work, but I would never trust you outside of this. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit of one of those people where you're like, you might laugh at his jokes, but he's hard to trust.
Yeah.
So, anyhow,
yeah, no, it's true.
Let's see what happens. Yeah.
He really I don't have very much respect for him at all. That was so fucked up, and he's such a liar. And it's like, if you think we're going to believe your bullshit, like, come on.
Yeah. But even still, I'm sorry, but if it was like, oh, we were there till 2 a.m. Okay. The bar closed. We talked for a while. I give you that. 5 a.m. 5 a.m. That's 3 hours after the bars close. Hello. You cannot be talking that long. Sarah Ann isn't that interesting. She didn't have enough to say. Well, she talked about her Botox.
But also, it's just inappropriate. It is inappropriate to be an engaged person in any kind of a serious monogamous relationship. It is inappropriate to be doing that shit, to be sitting in cars at what I don't care what time it is, to go outside of the bar. You leave the bar. Mm-hmm. Why'd you leave the bar? If you want to talk, stay in the bar and talk.
Well, the bar closed.
I know, but even... Even before,
yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah.
I mean, would you? I mean, what if you found out your fiance was doing that?
Yeah, I would not be happy. I mean, No, you're right. You are right. It's yeah, it's not. It's not a good look. It is not a good look.
It's beyond not a good look. It is.
And it's just. And it's
unfaithful.
Dumb.
It's unfaithful.
It's stupid. It's so dumb.
It's being unfaithful, physically or emotionally or both or whatever. We don't know what they were doing, but that is a betrayal.
Okay. That's a betrayal. It's a betrayal. Laura. Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Ooh, can't wait to see what happens to them next week.
Yeah. Well, and then finally there's Clay and AD. And I'm just,
This is a complicated one.
This is very, very complicated. Clay really doesn't know a lot. He doesn't know that his Martha's Vineyard is near the water.
Or that it's near Boston. He has no geographical idea.
He's like, oh, Boston. Yeah. Okay. What's that? Oh, water? And you're like, yeah, water. Martha's Vineyard. It's an island. That's pretty common knowledge. Like, yeah, it's right off the coast there. And yeah, Cape Cod and Nantucket and all of that. Like,
yeah,
that is very weird. And then, of course, we see the infamous, people have done a ton of memes of this, of Clay slurping the soup.
Yeah, and I think that was probably added. They probably added in some sound effects there. But
she looked mortified. She was mortified.
I feel like she looked mortified this all throughout all these episodes. I feel like, I don't know, again, I don't know if this is editing, but all we see is Clay being manic. Talking a mile a minute, kind of giving a sermon about his life and his thoughts and whatever, which is not very deep. And then AD just kind of sitting there smiling and nodding and being like, okay. Like, he's just constantly talking and monologuing and he's talking in platitudes, you know, that's all he talks in.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is a man baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A complete and total man baby. And I was really shocked to see when they went and met his mom and his sister. It's not what I would have envisioned his mom and his sister. They are just so calm and cool and the mother is very, seems very wise. And I don't know why she stayed with that cheater for 25 years or whatever.
Yeah, well, but he said that he would go with his father on these cheating trips.
Oh, that's
right.
Yeah.
He would go with his dad. So dad obviously was hooking up with someone else and Clay was told not to tell.
But why was he go? Why was he taking Clay with him? He was
because I bet you
the guise of.
Yes.
Clay to this place.
And, yeah. And yeah. And then sure enough, a woman shows up and hey, this is just between you and me, Clay. And I think that, and I wonder if, you know, now he said it on television, his mother's going to learn, but I wonder if the mother knew that. Yeah. I wonder if the mother really was aware of how much the father was cheating and how deep all of this is. I get with AD, you know, she is not stupid. She's very, very smart. Mm-hmm. And she kind of, I think in the back of her mind, she's thinking, I'm in a bit of a pickle here.
Yeah.
I've picked the same guy I've always picked.
Maybe worse.
he is cute. He's a good looking guy and he's got some good qualities.
And he's more intelligent than I think.
Yeah.
Well, he was.
And he's got some good qualities and he's got some things in the pros column. But yet there are these, and he's willing to seek help. He's willing. He keeps talking about the therapy. He's willing to do that. So I think she sees that. But then she's reminded of red flag after red flag after red flag after red flag. And I think that she's constantly I think she debates every single moment of every day of, do I want this? Don't I want this? And I think that she maybe meets the family and feels warm, fuzzy feelings for him. And so for a while, it's like, yeah, I think I can do this. And then he brings up the fact that he doesn't think that men can not cheat. So now she's, now she's back to that. And the things that he's saying, I thought were, you know, it's not talked about a lot, which is all of these black men that I look up to, Jay-Z, Will Smith, I don't know who else he mentioned, that are very popular, that I admire, have cheated on their wives.
And so has every other man who he's kind of he's been in his life. And that thing about his dad and these infidelity trips, that is so psychologically damaging.
Mm-hmm.
He's more damaged than we knew.
Yes.
Like when that came out, I was like, oh my God, can you imagine being put in that position? You're basically, you have to lie to your mother. You have to keep secrets from your mother. I mean, that now I feel a tremendous amount of empathy for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to her, he said something like, he's basically telegraphing that he's going to cheat.
Yes.
That he's going to fail her here. He says, I just don't want to fail you or something like that. But he's basically just trying to prepare her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am probably going to fail you. I am probably going to cheat. All this kind of stuff. And it's just like,
so please don't be mad at me.
So don't be mad at me because I'm telling you in advance.
Yeah.
You know, so you knew. And and I think that Clay's mom really has obviously babied him. And that's where all this, I think it was more she was trying to protect him or I don't know what this family, my God.
But he sounds like he's trying to convince himself too. He's talking to her going, yeah, and I'm going to be okay. And I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Like, it's this weird thing of back and forth between, I'm going to forewarn you that I'm worried about all these things and I don't have any positive influences and most likely I'm going to cheat on you. But at the same time, I'm going to try to convince myself that this is what I really want, because I think that he philosophically wonders if that's what he wants. Like, I do wonder if maybe Clay would be better in an open relationship.
Like he wants to.
Yeah, maybe
he's not happy with, he's never going to be happy with having sex with just one woman.
Yes. And that's a thing. And it's like, okay, so if that is your truth, if that's your reality, no one's here to shame you for it, but you've got to find a relationship and go on Couple to Thruple or something. Like,
don't
get on that show.
With her. Don't do it with AD.
Yeah,
exactly. There are people who are willing to be in those relationships seeking sister wives.
But the thing is that, and I think that he also knows that she is a lot better than he is. I think he knows that, like, oh, she's something. Like, she's something, and I really have to step up, and I really can't screw up. And if I screw up once, she's probably going to be like, goodbye.
Yeah.
So I really can't. So let me forewarn this, and let me tell him now. But the problem is that these two have talked constantly about marriage counseling. Why don't you guys go?
Why don't you start now? Yeah. Get some sessions in before the wedding.
Yeah. Get some emergency sessions in. Yeah. Someone will meet with you and sit down and talk through all of these things. But most likely a therapist would say, don't get married.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely not.
So the producers maybe don't want her to do that. Don't want them to do that.
No, this is so complicated. And so I guess next time we'll get to meet her family or her mom. There's a scene from the next episode or whatever. She's talking to her mom. And Clay's mom was basically saying that, you know, because they were talking about how he's just so, he's an entrepreneur, so he's just hustling. He's got all these hustles and they never see each other hardly. And she's like, well, you got to make time to see each other. Like, I appreciate your hustle, but, it's not going to work if you don't do that. And he just seems to gloss right over that. I don't think he took that in at all.
Well, the other thing is, it sounds like he owns a home, which I was very surprised. Yeah. He owns his home and he also has all these rental properties, which I think obviously AD is in real estate. So I think this is what they connected on. And I think they sort of see themselves as these moguls together, right? But I think that AD is already worried because he was saying, well, I just spend the night at one of my rental properties. If I don't have to go
driving
back an hour. And I don't know how far away these things are. But the problem is that if Clay was a different kind of person, I think AD would be far more understanding of that. The problem is that she's like, my God, is he going to do this? And I'm always going to wonder.
Already doesn't trust him. That's the biggest red flag ever.
Yeah. So there you go. That's all the couples. So you want to redo our predictions? Nobody's going to get married.
What did you think of Clay's pillow on his bed?
I didn't even see it. I was probably taking notes. What was it?
He had like one of those picture pillows.
Oh, God.
There was a picture of, I guess, his family. But yeah, like. And he kept saying, oh, yeah, this apartment this house needs a woman's touch, and which it kind of does. But I thought that was funny. The big picture pillow is so dorky. He's more of a dork than we think, though, too, because that's the thing. He's got this little dorkiness side to him. I don't know. I'm just have all this empathy for little Clay.
I get the sense that
his dad.
I know. He's got stuff to work out. And I do think Clay could make a really good partner for somebody, but he needs to be in therapy for a long time. He needs to unpack and process.
He's not a bad person.
He's not. And his father put him in a horrible position. Horrible position.
He abused him.
Yeah. And the thing is that he needs to go. Don't work this stuff out with AD.
Right.
Work it out in therapy on your own. Like, work it out. And apparently I heard someone saying something about how they have to take batteries of tests before they get on the show and personality tests and all this stuff. I'm like, these tests must not be very discerning because I cannot tell you. I mean, I should just be passing out my card. I should just wait, whatever city it is.
Just wait outside of the
wedding hall.
Yeah, exactly. And also, what's with that townhouse complex that almost looks like prison complex.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird. And it looks like it's built out in the middle of nowhere, kind of like they're not in Charlotte, downtown Charlotte. Like they put them way out in the burbs somewhere.
Those are ugly. But you know what? Rent there is probably like $500 a month or something.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, but I mean, those were nice. I think those were modern and nicer, but they are... I think that they built that with this idea of like, this is the burbs, but we're going to have lots of young singles who want to own a home. And they're going to come out here and want to not have a side of my house, like be that kind of like they do in back east where everyone's like so close together. Mm-hmm. Like there's no space division between the homes.
Right.
Like in New York.
I don't know. Well, there were some scenes from the next, upcoming scenes. And the only one I can really remember is Chelsea yelling at Jimmy, "You fucked her.
I know you fucked her."
We assume it's Jimmy. We can't see him. We can't see who she's yelling at. Yelling at someone. It could be somebody else.
I mean, maybe she's yelling at Jeremy.
Jeremy, yeah. It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's juicy. Can't wait for that.
That is juicy, but I bet you anything it's Jimmy. I'd be surprised if it was she was yelling at Jeremy. Because I think Chelsea's about Chelsea. I don't think Chelsea would get that involved.
The other thing I noticed was they showed two, this might not mean anything, but they only showed two couples like in their, you know, wedding attire at the altar. And it was AD. We see AD and then we see
Johnny
Jessica
and Amy.
And Johnny. So does that mean that they're the only two that make it to the altar? I don't know.
Well,
predictions.
We're down one. So
revised predictions. We're down.
I think Jimmy and Amy are going to make it. I think Clay and AD will get to the altar, but I think AD is going to say no. And, you know,
I don't think,
Jeremy and Chelsea and Jimmy aren't going to make it. I just don't think. I mean, I could see Chelsea and Jimmy maybe making it, but I think Jimmy's going to say no.
He's going to say no.
But next time we get to see Trevor, everyone's going to get to meet each other. So next episodes are going to be juicy. Yeah. So
it's Sarah Ann, probably.
Yes. Sure. Yes.
But maybe Jeremy and Laura will be gone by then. I don't know.
Hmm. We shall see.
I love this show.
Yeah, it's a great show. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review. We really do appreciate it. It does help us out a lot. If you have not already subscribed, please subscribe. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday, we are continuing our Sister Wives coverage. And by the time you're listening to this, you would have listened to our Tuesday episode with Dr. Adam, the Sister Wives professor. It was so much fun. He's such a great person. So we will be continuing on season 6 and in Sister Wives and this season 6 on Love is Blind. And then once Love is Blind is over, we're going to jump into some documentaries and some other things. And we have lots of stuff coming up, exciting stuff that we have planned. So we can't wait to share it with you all.
Stay tuned.
And, follow us on Psych Legal Pop at Instagram or TikTok. And tell a friend about the podcast. We really do appreciate it when you spread the word. So,
yes, thank you for all your support.
Yes, thank you. And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Taylor Itzinas.
I'm Taylor Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.